This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. An online petition calls for the city and county of Kalamazoo and the state of Michigan to divest public funds from gun manufacturers and ammunition makers. We'll talk with the organizers coming up. But first, sometime tomorrow night, we should know how Michigan voters have cast their ballots for the Republican and Democratic candidates for president. Michigan's primary will determine how delegates are awarded for the nomination of both major parties. The Michigan Public Radio Network's Capitol Bureau Chief Rick Pluta joins us from Lansing. Rick, good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, let's explain to the listeners, what is at stake tomorrow in Michigan's primary?
What is at stake is basically delegates, 59 on the Republican side and 133 on the Democratic side, that they have different ways of counting and apportioning them. But basically, you know, the march to the conventions is all about racking up enough delegates to win, hopefully, on a first ballot, which Hillary Clinton at least does seem to be on a path to do.
And Michigan is not a winner-take-all state, so the margin of victory will be important tomorrow.
Michigan is not a winner-take-all state because we went so early in the calendar. We are not allowed to be a winner-take-all state. And so we are apportioned in such a way is that you've got to get at least 15% of the vote in order to qualify for any delegates. So, you know, if John Kasich gets 12% or something like that, then he's just out of luck.
Yeah, we'll talk about his strategy in a moment, but you mentioned where we are on the calendar, and of course, states jockey for position, try to figure out where's the best place for us to be, to have the most influence. Part of the goal there is to try and you know, get your issues talked about. Your stories last week on the Republican debate noted that Michigan issues really didn't get a lot of attention. Last night's Democratic debate was quite different. A lot of discussion on Flint, Detroit, auto industry, trade, even gun violence following the shooting in Kalamazoo. Those, of course, are just two data points. Can we say that with all the campaign visits, debates we've had, that Michigan issues have had the spotlight shined on them?
Well, I think there are a couple of things is that, you know, quote unquote, Michigan issues, I think, play more heavily in the Democratic race than the Republican race. But the other thing, too, is I think that the Detroit Republican debate was initially supposed to be a lot more about showcasing Republican urban policy and urban policy ideas. And what it instead turned into was kind of a truth squad effort on Donald Trump. That, you know, he was the only one who had those banners on the screen that pointed out inconsistencies in his record when you said this and then later on you said this, you know, that sort of thing. But again, that said, that, you know, when you talk about trade agreements, you know, there's a difference of opinion between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders on that. Even the Import-Export Bank, which, you know, most people don't even know what it is, but it's still a critical difference between the two of them, that they spent a lot of time talking about, you know, Bernie Sanders voted against the auto rescue. But he said, well, I wasn't voting against the auto rescue. I was for that. What I was voting against was the Wall Street bailout, which was, you know, the larger package that the auto rescue was in. And Hillary Clinton was able to say, well, you know what? I decided it was more important to vote for the auto rescue than to oppose, you know, other stuff that that I didn't agree with. And so, you know, those issues just play more prominently in the Democratic race.
A fair amount of time on the Export-Import Bank last night, which I'm going to guess a lot of people watching maybe had never heard of until that moment. Congressman Justin Amash actually gave Bernie Sanders a shout out on Twitter and told him good for him. That's one of Justin Amash's pet issues. Interesting, though, that it would take up as much time as it did in the debate last night.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not really an issue that drives voters in one direction or another, like free trade. And I guess we should point out the Import-Export Bank is a federal government program that basically provides loans to businesses for export operations, for manufacturing and exports that other lenders just won't finance. And so it's a way to get these projects off the ground. And it's one of those things that liberals and libertarians tend to agree that maybe the government ought not be doing it.
So we mentioned John Kasich a moment ago. He has spent a lot of time in Michigan, especially this last week leading up to the primary. He's tried to hit just about every corner of the state. He has really put his chips on the table here in Michigan. So how important is it for his campaign that he at least breaks that 15% barrier tonight?
I think it's critical that he break the 15% barrier, that that he's not going to win it, but he has to do, but he has to have a respectable showing. And if he walks out of Michigan with no delegates, he will be limping into next week, where he will very likely win Ohio. But a lot of the rationale behind his candidacy, his campaign, will have evaporated if he doesn't have a respectable showing in Michigan.
Now, there seems to be something of a stop Trump effort here in the state, but it's spread out across different candidates. Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly endorsed John Kasich last week. The DeVos family, Congressman Bill Heisinger, some others are in the Marco Rubio camp. Is this kind of similar to what we're seeing across the country, that no one has really yet settled on the one candidate to take on Trump? And maybe that's the way people want it right now, that it is sort of a diverse effort to spread the vote out.
Well, it's probably too late at this point to coalesce behind a single candidate to do it. Mitt Romney delivered a speech last week where he basically, said, go vote in your primaries, vote, and vote for anyone but Trump. But he was basically saying, deliver delegates to other candidates. And that's a lot easier to do now that we've got this string of winner take all states coming up starting next week, with Ohio and Florida, where Marco Rubio and John Kasich, he's the governor of Ohio as well, are favorites in their state.
Shortly before we go ahead.
And we should point out that Donald Trump, who has a home in Florida, seems to have really staked out that territory, that he would like to use that election to take out Rubio.
Shortly before we started, I saw a tweet from Inside Michigan Politics noting that a story that could be developing here is that Ted Cruz looks like he could maybe come in second in Michigan, despite the fact that he has spent so little time here. They were saying that that's an indication that his ground game is pretty strong. Again, we didn't see much from Ted Cruz in Michigan. If he does come in, say, second, what does that say about where he stands here?
Well, it says that he's the second most popular Republican candidate.
There you go.
it's true that since Super Tuesday, Ted Cruz has visited Michigan only once, and that was for the Republican debate, despite the fact that he said that he was going to come in and make a strong play for, the they used to be called Reagan Democrats. Now I would probably call them, Reagan Independents, but, to try and build a coalition there and make the case that he's the candidate to rebuild the old Reagan coalition and, take that on to a victory in November. He does have an organization here in Michigan. It's largely built around prominent Tea Partiers here in the state, and we'll see if they can get Cruz voters out to the polls.
If we had been talking last summer, do you imagine that we might have been focusing a little bit more on, say, who Governor Rick Snyder might be backing in this race? And has all the Flint water crisis just maybe made it necessary for him to go to the background while Republicans are campaigning in Michigan?
Rick Snyder will not be making an endorsement before tomorrow. And there are probably two big reasons for that. One is that, he's such a controversial figure right now because of the Flint water crisis and actually Detroit Public Schools and the Grand Rapids Veterans Home, that it's not clear how valuable that might be. And then the other thing is it would make him look like he's focusing on politics, presidential politics in this instance, instead of fixing these problems.
On the Democratic side, the website 538, run by Nate Silver, well known for its political predictions, is giving Hillary Clinton, I believe the last time I looked, a 99% chance of winning Michigan. If you were to try to explain why it is that Hillary Clinton is such a favorite here, despite the fact that Bernie Sanders has a populist economic message, which seems like it could ring true with a lot of union members, people who've lost jobs in manufacturing, what would you say Hillary Clinton's strength is here?
Hillary Clinton's strength is organization, that, you know, she's got the Democratic Party establishment behind her and all of the campaign machines that go with having those members of Congress backing you and things like that. She's just very, very well organized. And she has locked down the African-American vote, apparently, and that is critical in a Michigan Democratic primary.
Bernie Sanders is making a last-minute pitch here. He's in Kalamazoo as we speak right now on Monday morning. He has seemed to have put a fair amount of effort in here, but it doesn't seem to really be getting a lot of traction, does it?
Well, what he's tried to do is, you know, promote that economic populist message that you just mentioned, and then drive turnout on college campuses, and you've got two there, and hopefully get those, you know, young idealistic voters who seem to form the core of his support out to vote on Election Day.
Rick, in the past, have you seen any real connection, or can you make any real connection between the activity that goes on in the state for the primary on both sides, especially in an open year like this where there's not an incumbent president running, and what ultimately happens in the fall in terms of the general election? Is there any correlation to make there?
In Michigan, it's hard to make the case that there is, that, you know, you can look at how many people voted in one primary or the other, and then kind of make a prediction on how popular that political party might be in November. But other than that, they're both very, very separate races. And remember, relatively few voters vote in the primaries compared to the general in a presidential year. Probably just 2 in 10 voters will be voting in one primary or the other here.
What if we're sitting down tomorrow night and we're starting to see election returns come in? What are some things that you will be looking for, and what are some things that we as watchers, listeners, voters might be looking for that might tell us something about where this race is headed in Michigan?
Well, I would look at where people actually turn out to vote. You know, do we have a lot of voters coming out in Detroit, in Saginaw, in Flint, in Kalamazoo? You know, because that'll help, because turnout is what drives elections. That it's just, you know, who gets out and votes decides who wins. It's pretty basic. So where people turn out will be one. And then if there isn't some kind of a surprise, you know, a candidate does better than expected, and then we sort of have to sort through that and figure out why.
And of course, the name that keeps coming up over and over again when we talk about the surprise of this election year is Donald Trump. Now, Michigan has a fairly strong, I think you could say, an establishment when it comes to the Republican side, and that would seem to be who is trying to has been trying to stop Donald Trump. But does his message of economic populism seem to be finding an audience here as well?
Oh, it absolutely is. That you know, you go to the rallies and you know, people, you know, just are in there packed to the rafters. And there are a lot of people who like him, despite the inconsistencies in what he says, that they still think that he's telling it like it is, or at least telling it like it is from his perspective.
The Republicans that you talk to in Michigan, are they concerned, even maybe just on background, about what a Donald Trump candidacy would mean for the state and for the Republican chances in the fall?
Republicans are absolutely concerned, and some of them not just on background, that, you know, that this could cost them maybe a congressional seat, you know, the majority in the state House of Representatives, you know, and maybe, you know, just set up problems, you know, down the pike as well. That, no, there's definitely concern about, you know, what it would mean to have Donald Trump at the top of the Republican ticket on the, you know, amongst Republicans.
And are most of them sort of hoping for that scenario we talked about earlier, some sort of a convention, a brokered convention, if you want to call it that, where we get to Cleveland in the summer and Donald Trump does not have the nomination locked up?
Actually, that is exactly, you know, what they're hoping for. And, you know, by most measurements, it seems like that would be pretty much the only way to, you know, block a Trump candidacy. Although there is a problem there. If Donald Trump actually heads into the convention with the most delegates, even if he doesn't have the number needed to win, and then is still denied the nomination, that's going to upset a lot of people.
Rick Pluta, thank you very much for your time.
A pleasure.
Rick Pluta is the Capital Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network. He joined us from Lansing.